Good morning. This is the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Elaine Baumgartel. Today we'll be talking with New Mexico teachers. How are students faring in their classrooms? What are their biggest challenges? What are teachers doing to help students succeed? If you'd like to join the conversation this morning, we have a little bit of a squished show today, a condensed version of the call-in show due to our spring pledge drive. So we'd like to encourage you to get on the phone now to participate in the conversation. The number to call in Albuquerque is 277-5866, or you can call toll-free 877-899-5866. That's to participate in the conversation on the KUNM call-in show this morning. You can also send us an email at callinshow@kunm.org. Today we're joined by three teachers to share their experiences in the classroom and also respond to your calls this morning. We're joined in the studio by Barney Fuller. He teaches 7th grade math at Eisenhower Middle School in Albuquerque. We also have Barbara Peterson. She is a reading intervention teacher at Via Vista Elementary School in Albuquerque's South Valley. And also joining us by phone today is Chanel Segura. She's the student engagement advisor at Capshaw Middle School in Santa Fe. She joins us from Santa Fe by phone. And I have to tell you all that it's been a long time since I've been in a primary classroom for any period of time, or even a secondary classroom. And I wanted to ask you to kind of give us an idea of what some of the surprises are in your classrooms. What are the things that, you know, if there was a glass wall in your classroom and people walking by on the street could see what you were doing in there, what would be surprising or unusual? Let's start, Barbara Peterson, let's start with you from Via Vista Elementary School.
Okay, I'm going to start a little bit general and then come down more specific, because I think one of the things that's happening in media and in news is that schools like Valle Vista get advertised as being schools in trouble, struggling schools, you know, and the governor's grading system, let's give them a grade. And I think what people don't realize is the huge diversity of students. And I think one of the most surprising things and sort of exciting things as a teacher is how we go about meeting that diversity of students' needs. Because when students are at a quote-unquote failing school, it doesn't mean that we're bringing every student down to the lowest level. It means that we have a huge number of students with needs, but we also have a huge number of kids that come in just ready to go. And so our effort as teachers is to make sure we're meeting every single student where they are and taking them as far as we can to meet each individual student's needs.
So the challenge of having a wide range of abilities and experience mm-hmm. and knowledge among your student body and how to cater to mm-hmm. the different levels of needs is
right.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, what excites me, I've been a teacher in APS now for 33 plus years, and so I've seen a lot of changes. And what keeps me going and what keeps me wanting to continue teaching is how much our profession has grown in terms of how we figure out what students know and what they need to know and where they break down, what's problematic for them, and how do we address that. And meanwhile, a school like Valle Vista, while we have some families, I have second-generation kids now, we have families that are original.
By second-generation, you're talking second-generation Spanish speakers? Or, oh, it's for
no,
you.
No, for me. I have
seen
students.
Two generations.
I have students that are the children of former students mm-hmm, of mm-hmm. mine. And so I feel a real commitment to that community. I'm pretty well embedded there.
Absolutely.
And now so we have these families that are very stable, that are original land-grant families. And then we have a huge mobile population as well. We have a large immigrant population. We have probably 50% of children who come with one parent or the other, or both parents speaking Spanish as mm-hmm. the primary language. We have somewhere around 10% of our students who qualify for homeless services. Our assistant principal and counselor just visited four different motels on Central a couple of days ago trying to track down one of our students
parents that's
vanished.
Okay. Well, Barney Fuller, what about you in your 7th grade math classrooms? What would be the OMG moment oh my goodness, or oh my gosh, when people see what's going on in your classrooms?
Well, when things are working, you know, the way that they're supposed to work, I think people might sometimes be surprised by the quality of the student dialogue. A math class, well, and it varies from teacher to teacher according to teacher styles and according to, you know, what particular programs they're teaching from and which resources they're drawing from. But I have a constructivist math class where the where the students sit in collaborative teams. They work together, bounce ideas off of each other to try to discover strategies that make sense to do their problem solving. And then they have to come up with ways to, you know, communicate it to their peers. It's kind of a problem-centered learning environment, and some people might be surprised by seeing what that's like. It's not just rows of chairs and just me always talking to them. It's me really trying to elicit high-quality thinking through my questioning techniques the highest quality reasoning that I can get out of them. Now, some days that works better than others.
Absolutely.
But when it's really working, it's a pretty powerful thing to see.
Yeah. Chanel Segura in Santa Fe, what about your work as student engagement advisor at CAPTCHA?
Yeah, so Elaine, I taught at Capital High School for 6 years as an English teacher, and I also coordinated the AVID program at Capital. And so this year, I'm at CAPTCHA doing my administrative internship. So it's a little bit different this year. I'm getting to see, school through a different lens, and that's been very awakening to me as far as, you know, being a teacher and wondering, why can't my administration do something about this? And now I'm getting it because we have our own, frustrations of what we're actually able to do. As far as in the classroom, I think we have so many teachers who are in education because they truly love the profession. And I was one of those teachers, and I loved going to work every day. And my students loved being in my classroom. I think we're up against so much, just like Barbara had mentioned, with, ever-changing demographic that we're getting in our public schools with a high immigration population who are lacking English skills. And so, as a teacher, you're being expected to teach to our, state and even sometimes national standards where we have so many deficits without the resources. And so, teachers are like the students in the sandbox who are expected to make a castle without the necessary resources, such as, the water and the buckets. So we're trying to do what we can, and we have such passionate teachers. We're also in a day where technology is big, and so you see students with cell phones and the internet and social networks, which make it really difficult for teachers because we have policies in place, where cell phones are not allowed in the classroom. However, how do you regulate that? And that's a difficult thing. And parents, that's also a difficult conversation is when you're trying to emphasize to parents how we need to try and keep these things out of our students' reach, because with the cell phones, they are a distraction. And parents, argue, well, I want to be able to get in touch with my student at any time. But from the teacher's perspective, it's very disruptive to the class if a cell phone goes off or if a student's texting their parent, where a parent can call into the office like it happened back in the day and can get in touch with their child if it's, an emergency. So we have those things. And then there's also that, the social networking. So we have bullying and cyberbullying going on, and that's difficult. So, teachers are going up against things that they didn't have to, even 10 years ago. And trying to evolve and be effective on that level is really difficult. We have this, 54% graduation rate, and I think a lot of that plays into it because there are so many distractions, getting away from just that, paper and pencil and learning. And just like Barney had mentioned, I really appreciate his the way he's going about teaching his math class, because math is a difficult subject for our students. And, going from that traditional pedagogy to constructivist is really important. And
well, so let me jump in there real quick. Barney, I know that with this a technique of teaching that you use in your classrooms, how do you address that aspect of the different distractions that students face, both with the technology that they may have and also the kind of changing attitudes towards learning.
With varying degrees of success from day to day. It's one of the main challenges that we have that I think is an acute difference in teaching now as opposed to even 10 or 15 years ago. Kids are entertained constantly. They have I can repeat the things that Chanel said, but the idea is that we're competing for a level of entertainment and focus that is constant for kids, and we have to find ways to kind of get them out of that inner world that they're constantly in and get them focused on something that is going to help them achieve in school and become, you know, good learners.
You're listening to the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Elaine Baumgartel, and today we're taking a few minutes this morning to hear from New Mexico teachers about how students are faring in their classrooms, what their biggest challenges are, and what teachers are doing to help students succeed. We'd like for you to call in and participate in the conversation. The number to call in Albuquerque is 277-5866. That's 277-KUNM. You can also call toll-free 877-899-5866. That's toll-free outside the Albuquerque area. That also is 877-899-KUNM if you're moving around and need to put that in your mind to remember. You can also send us an email at callinshow@kunm.org. Barbara, with your students, they're elementary school students, and you mentioned how many have one or maybe even two Spanish-speaking family members or parents in the household. How does this aspect of distraction and entertainment manifest with the age group of students that you work with the reading intervention?
I think not quite the same way that it works in middle school and high school. Our students, to a great extent, have other kinds of distractions. I mean, we have a community that basically qualifies 100% free lunch. And so a lot of the distractions that our students have are things like not knowing for sure where they're going to be spending the night.
Right.
Hunger is truly an issue for some of our students.
Not even being able to think straight because having not eaten in the morning or something.
Right. Mm-hmm. We have somewhere around 20% of our students who have a direct family member incarcerated. And all of these things are really and truly linked to poverty. So one of the ways that we work at meeting it is just building those personal relationships with students. You know, our students don't come in with that sense of entitlement that this school is for me, that students have in a more affluent neighborhood lots of times. Their success in school is based on personal relationships and the trust that they have for a teacher. Not that it's not true in other communities at other levels, but that's the one thing that we can grab onto and develop.
Great.
Because our kids want to be successful. Our families want them to be successful.
Thanks for that, Barbara. We'll be right back. This is the KUNM Call-In Show. We're going to take a quick break here, and stay tuned. We'll be back hearing from New Mexico teachers about what's going on in classrooms in New Mexico. This is KUNM.
And you are listening to The Call-In Show on New Mexico's community-powered public radio, KUNM. I'm Tristan Klum, KUNM's program director, joined in the studio by General Manager Richard Town. We're here because it is time to ask you to do what you can, do your part to support this vital public radio service for northern and central New Mexico.
It is exactly right. Tristan, thank you so much, and we thank those of you who have called this morning to help us keep on track. Our phone lines are open now, 277-4357. That's the pledge line, not for the call-in show. It's for calling in your contribution, 277-HELP, 277-4357, toll-free 866-899-5866. Happy to report that the $7,000 goal in the 7 o'clock hour, we came so very, very close, $6,900 in. Now we need to finish up the job on this hour with a $3,000 goal. Your call is critical. Your call is so important to us, and we're asking you to make your contribution this morning. Call in and help us on our way. We take a quick couple of minutes in the middle of this call-in show to ask for your support. 277-4357. 877-477-4357 or toll free. It's 866-899-5866.
A lot of folks have called in to pledge their support this morning. These folks, I'm going to name a few and thank a few of you. They know what it's like to give to public radio. They know that it feels great. So, Norma Byers, I hope you're having a wonderful day. I hope you feel better for having given to KUNM. Ben Baxton, we'll get that tote bag for you because you pledged your support. Thank you so much. Brian Hughes called with a pledge of support. And Catherine Jabbar called. Also, Carlos Colon from Albuquerque said, yeah, I want to renew my commitment to KUNM and public radio. It really is easy. Takes a phone call and a couple of minutes. 277-4357, 277-HELP, or toll free. It's 866-899-5866.
And we have a great challenge from Martha Cather. Martha is going to add $10 to the first 20 pledges this morning on the call-in show. So if you contribute $60, that means we get $70, thanks to Martha. If you contribute $120, $10 a month, she's going to throw in an extra $10 for KUNM. Meet Martha Cather's challenge this morning. Your call up to the first 20 pledges, so 20 quick calls, and we're going to have Martha's challenge all taken care of. We want you to help. We want you to participate. It's great because you'll know you're doing your part to keep KUNM community-powered radio full of power. 277-4357, 277-4357, and toll-free 866-899-5866.
Support comes from Saggio's, homemade real Italian pizza, calzones, pasta, salads, and desserts, serving Albuquerque and the UNM community since 1968. Saggio's encourages support of public radio KUNM on Cornell Southeast across from UNM and at saggios.com.
Good morning. This is the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Elaine Baumgartel. Thanks for joining us this morning. We're talking about education with New Mexico teachers today and about how students are faring in their classrooms. And I'd like to take a caller right now. Matt in Santa Fe, you're on the air. Good morning, Matt.
Hello.
Are you there? Hi, Matt.
Yes. Wonderful to hear from the teachers.
Great.
We always support what they do, and they're obviously the most integral part of our kind of education system. But in just kind of hearing them talk, it seems like there are lots of excuses as to why stuff can happen. And I would assume a lot of these things they say are apparent across the board, regardless of the school district. And it's just kind of, what are the things that we're going to do to get by them? And to get around these problems of economics or budgeting or what their home life is, and regardless of saying what the positives are, how do we get all the schools to be successful and not have ones that are failing or have bad grades or this, that, and the other? The problems are obviously there, and I think everyone knows them. But how do we get around them instead of just saying, well, here are the reasons why we can't do it?
Great, Matt. That's a great question. I'm going to throw that question to Chanel Segura in Santa Fe at Capshaw Middle School. Chanel, you work with your students on a kind of a peer justice panel. And do you find that brings you a measure of success with students when they're dealing with disciplinary practices?
We do. And just to kind of respond to Matt, we're definitely not about excuses, and it's really difficult. You know, it's kind of this discourse of just what are we up against in education, and, from top down. And so trying to figure out how are we going to get through this, and how do we get our students where they need to be functioning in society, academically and socially, so that they're able to function well. And so I think, we have programs in place. We have strategies going on that, we're trying to really address these issues in the most assertive way, because it is difficult. And, one teacher at the secondary level can see up to, sorry, the bells are going off, can see up to 160 students a day, and each of those students comes with, their own issues. And so having to adjust to that and create an environment within your classroom where they feel safe, where they feel like they can learn and express themselves freely is really important. So giving teachers, because teachers don't just walk into the classroom and have those skills, because we aren't, you know, counselors. We become counselors, but we're not walking in fresh, you know, from our educational program. And so giving those teachers the skills they need to address those issues is important. As far as the restorative justice program we have, we do. We do, you know, it's students basically on a panel who hear, it's this, you know, the story of the student who is, you know, in the discipline system already and who is struggling. So, you know, it's really difficult. Students hear stories about kids getting neglected, you know, abused, students who have issues such as, you know, ADHD and who forget to take their medication and who acknowledge that. So it's very personal, and students do get, you know, they do feel support, and students do, you know, I talk to students about personal issues every day, and sometimes we don't want to hear those because they are difficult to hear, and you want to help them, but there is a line where you can't cross. So how do we give those kids the skills they need to, you know, be able to get through what they need to?
Great, Chanel. Thanks for that that comment. And Barney, what about you? What is your response to Matt's question about, you know, why focus on all the negative stuff? Can't there be some positivity and let's look for solutions as opposed to criticizing the way it is?
I understand his perception that, you know, that teachers, you know, complain about what's not right. But actually, the whole story doesn't get told. I'm exceedingly proud to witness day after day after day what my colleagues do to address the exact kinds of concerns that he expressed. We are all concerned about those things. And if you could see into the classrooms on a daily basis and watch the integrity with which my colleagues work, there are so many outstanding teachers out there. And it's a beautiful thing to witness in spite of all the things that are wrong. Now, I'm gonna give you a quick list, and it's going to sound like I'm complaining, but I would like to put it in a different context. In the last 3 years or so, since I started working at Eisenhower with recent budget cuts, we've lost wood shop at my school. We've lost wood shop. We've lost family and consumer sciences, which used to be considered home ec. We've lost a French class. We're about to lose an info tech class for sixth graders. Language arts classes have gone from a block schedule with a reasonable amount of students over a longer period of time for, you know, more in-depth instruction to twice as many students with half as much time. We have fewer administrators to address discipline problems. Class sizes are going up. Stipends for extra responsibilities, such as running grade level meetings or student assistance teams, are going away. Inclusion support in science and social studies classes.
What does that mean, inclusion support?
What that means is that kids who have special needs have another teacher with them, for example, in a science class. And in some cases, not having that other set of eyes with kids that have some very significant needs in some cases can actually be a safety issue. Now, it can sound like I'm complaining, but what I'm really doing is I'm going to work every single day, regardless of the circumstances that I inherit, and I'm doing the absolute best job that I can do. But I would feel like I wasn't being a responsible teacher if I wasn't trying to raise awareness about the limits that we have in terms of what we can accomplish with the resources that are available.
Barbara, what about your response? I want to get a response from you, and then I'd like to take a few more calls. But this idea of what is happening that's good at Valle Vista? Where are you having success with your student body and feeling like, you know, we're making progress in this arena or with this aspect of our educational program?
Well, one of the things that I think we're most proud of at Valle Vista is our dual language program. We have what's called a 50-50 two-way dual language program, and what that means is that children who speak only English at home and children who speak only Spanish at home come into a classroom and together, using each other's models and using good instruction, come out with the goal in fifth grade as being biliterate. And there's more and more research that proves that bilingual brains are better brains. I mean, we think better. But children are human beings. Children are little bundles of cognitive and emotional and all sorts of intertwined things, and it's complex. And it's easy to say, well, it's just an excuse. But the fact is that when a child sees a mom shooting up at home, and, you know, there are realities that impact who comes into our classroom. And we and to think that that doesn't play a role in the way children can think and learn, ask any adult who's in the middle of a divorce if they are at their cognitive best. You know?
Yeah. That's a challenging life experience, the divorce. I'd like to take a caller. Okay. Let's go to Rebecca in Albuquerque. Good morning, Rebecca. You're on the air.
Good morning. I had two questions. One was slightly addressed already, but I was wondering how you guys are faring in the recent budget cuts and how you expect to fare with the increased classroom sizes and less supplies that you guys have. And my other question is regarding your standards that you have to do every year with No Child Left Behind and the fact that it's been renewed temporarily and how that affects your school and if you think it's a good program or not.
Great, Rebecca. Thanks for those questions. I'm going to take one more caller and then we'll go back to our panel and get some responses. Melissa in Albuquerque. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
I sure can. Go ahead.
Thank you. I have a quick comment and a question. First, my comment, I really appreciate that you all address education, and I want to give a shout out to all adult educators and invite KUNM sometime to do a program on adult education, because we do we face some of the same challenges with even fewer resources. But the other is just, my question is this: I so appreciate hearing educators who are clearly dedicated and clearly very professional and know their profession. And I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about the impact of mandatory standardized testing and how that influences teaching and learning in the classroom.
Great. Thanks, Melissa, for your call. Chanel Segura in Santa Fe at Capshaw Middle School. Talk to me about what kinds of effects the cuts are having on the programs that you're running at Capshaw.
Absolutely. We have, you know, with the budget cuts, every year you have your administrator walking into the room saying, you know, we need a cut again. A lot of times we look for retirement, so teachers who are, you know, ready for retirement as a natural kind of attrition. We try not to cut the classroom. That's, you know, I know our superintendent in Santa Fe is trying to stay away from the classroom. And so it's really important to really recognize that, you know, when you make these kind of cuts, it affects the programs and the great things about schools that parents, you know, look for. Just like Barney was saying, all of these classes, you know, your family consumer science, your wood shop, your automotive, you know, all these extra electives that students really want to be in school for. You have band, you have athletics. That's another thing that they're looking to cut. And that's, you know, we think we have a high, you know, graduation, you know, right now. I mean, it's going to be even worse. So we have these programs in place for students. Luckily, we get some grants that support these programs, but those are short-lived. And so what do we do after that? And so it is difficult. You know, we're asking students to bring, you know, their own supplies to school. And sometimes that is just not a possibility for some of our students.
You know, let me go to Barney and ask, you know, Barney, how do you see these cuts affecting students? Specifically, what does it mean to one of your students to not be able to take a woodshop class or to do the, what did you call, home economics? How does that affect a student in their ability to have a rounded education? Is that something that's integral as you see it? Or
they walk into a much less rich learning environment. They have fewer applications of the concepts that they learn in my class. You know, they can learn math in my class and go into a woodshop or a family and consumer science class and actually apply some of the concepts in a project where they produce a product. That is a rich learning experience. And, you know, complaining about the loss of those is not complaining. It's pointing towards something that we could change to make things better. Could I address the standards thing real quickly?
Yeah, let's talk about that also. The federal legislation requires students to be assessed. I don't know all the numbers, but and I'm not sure we need to get into that. But there's a lot of requirements for testing and assessment.
Yeah, we have so many tests during the year. First of all, New Mexico has among the highest standards in the nation. We set the bar very high.
Which is good, right?
It's very good if you have a fair way of evaluating how teachers and schools and students are doing, you know, based on those standards. To hinge the grading of schools on the basis of, for example, the SBA.
What is VSBA?
The SBA is the standards-based assessment.
Ah, okay.
It takes place. It covers 100% of the curriculum. We're supposed to bring 100% of the students to proficiency on that curriculum, and it takes place 70 to 75% of the way through the year. I mean, there's something fundamentally wrong with that model.
So when we talk about the material.
So when we, yeah, exactly. We have to shove all of the curriculum into a part of the year,
three-quarters
of the year. And so that, you know, how can we even determine who's succeeding or failing when we have a system like that? And why aren't we having a discussion about why that timing takes place and who benefits from that and who loses?
Barbara, how do your students, how are they affected by the way that testing is implemented at Via Vista Elementary in Albuquerque, South Valley?
Well, I just lost 2 weeks of instructional time.
To do testing.
So, and that's in addition to time that we lose for a whole array of district-mandated tests and other assessments. And the problem with them is that they are not connected always to the curriculum. I mean, I have no problem with standards, because standards really lay out your roadmap of what do you want to accomplish. But the publishers that publish the tests don't always go in alignment with the curriculum that we use. So the vocabulary is different. Concepts that children know solidly suddenly become undecipherable. I mean, I'd really like to offer a challenge to every legislator especially, but really any adult, to take the fourth grade SBA. I'm not even asking for the eighth grade SBA. The fourth grade SBA, and let's see how many legislators or governor's staff are proficient.
This is like, are you smarter than a fourth grader? New Mexico state legislators, kind of. Not the
right
show, but.
Yes.
I taught third grade for a number of years, and the third grade SBA test was 153 pages long.
Wow.
It took longer than mm-hmm. many professional exams.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, we really have to take a look at what an appropriate way of evaluating kids is, and the test itself has to be a quality test.
This is the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Elaine Baumgartel. Today we're speaking with New Mexico teachers about how students are faring in the classrooms, what their biggest challenges are, and what students are doing to try to help students succeed. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can call 277-5866 in the Albuquerque area. You can also call toll-free 877-899-5866. You can also feel free to shoot us an email, and that email address is callinshow@kunm.org. I've got a caller on the line. James, I'm going to ask you to hold on for just a moment, and we'll be right back with you in just a few moments. This is KUNM.
It is 8:39, and you're listening to The Call-In Show on New Mexico's community-powered public radio, KUNM. My name is Tristan Klum. I'm alongside Richard Town in the control room. We're here because this is our spring membership campaign. Now is the time when we come to you and ask you to pledge your support, and in support of incredible programs like this one we're hearing right now, The Call-In Show, where you learn something every time you listen.
We are taking you right into the classroom to hear directly from folks. It's something that KUNM can do on a consistent basis. We're very happy to be doing that. We recognize that education is such a terrific impact to all of us all across the state. You know, I'm pleased to inform you that last month, the National Federation of Community Broadcasters selected KUNM as one of only 5 stations in the country to do pilot programming to confront the tremendous challenges of the dropout issue in New Mexico. So we competed for that, and we were successful goal, you can look forward to much, much more concentration of our efforts on education and on the dropout issues and the complexities therein. We'll be participating in elevating the New Mexico story to the national stage through our participation with the National Federation of Community Broadcasters. We're up for the challenge. We can do that with your support. When you contribute to KUNM, you help us do that work. You're helping us do the work today. I'll update you on the goals. First, the phone numbers. Our lines are open, all lines open, 277-4357, 277-4357, and toll-free statewide, 866-899-5866. We set a goal of $3,000 for this hour. We've raised $1,000. We have $2,000 to go. Your contribution is just critical for us. That's about 20, 25 calls. And we have a great challenge grant this morning from Martha Cather. Every call for the next 10 calls, she'll add $10 per call. Let's earn that challenge from Martha Cather this morning with your contribution. 277-4357. 866-899-5866.
We can raise $2,000 before 9 o'clock with your help and your call. Please do it. If you've been listening to the call-in show and learned something this morning, I did.
I did, too.
A third-grade standard-based assessment test that's 130-some-odd pages long. That is incredible to me. And if you reacted to hearing that a bit of information, perhaps you're an educator and you just nodded your head and said, now people know. Well, this is what we do. We're trying to get great information in the first person out to you. We do that via the call-in show. This is also an opportunity for you to talk to newsmakers and the people behind the news headlines. We've been committed to this program for a long, long time. Now we want to ask you to help pay for it. 277-4357 is the number to call in Albuquerque, 277-HELP, or toll-free 866-899-5866.
Our phone lines stay open, and again, help us make that goal this morning. It's 277-4357. We're only taking a minute out of your time. The contribution only takes you a couple of minutes. 277-4357 and 866-899-5866. Thank you.
Funding for the KUNM Call-In Show comes from the New Mexico Community Foundation, Growing Our Future Together, on the web at nmcf.org, and by the McCune Charitable Foundation.
Good morning. This is the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Elaine Baumgartel. Today, we're hosting a conversation with New Mexico teachers about what's going on in classrooms across New Mexico and what some of the challenges are that students are facing. I'm joined in the studio today by Barney Fuller. He teaches seventh grade math at Eisenhower Middle School in Albuquerque's Northeast Heights. We also have Barbara Peterson. She is a reading intervention teacher at Valle Vista Elementary School in Albuquerque's South Valley. And we're joined by phone from Santa Fe by Chanel Segura. She's the student engagement advisor at Capshaw Middle School in Santa Fe. And I've got a caller on the line today with a question. James in Albuquerque, you're on the air.
Hi there. I do have a question, and I'd just like to thank, first of all, the teachers that we have on our show and all of the teachers in our state. I think they do great work with limited resources, and I applaud them. However, I want to point out that we're working with, and I work in education as well, we're working with an educational model that, you know, was really invented in the 19th century. It's an industrial style of education where we sort of churn out students like we might churn out car engines. I think that with technology, you know, the point of all this technology coming into the classroom, I think we're reaching a crisis point where that model is no longer going to hold up. And I'm wondering, and perhaps our young administrator can point us in the right direction here. What do you see happening with schools in the future when that system of education is no longer viable?
Definitely. Great, James. Thanks for your call. And Chanel Segura, hold your thought for just one moment for me, because I want to take one more caller, and then we'll kind of explore this idea of James's perspective on the industrial educational system, I think, as he called it. Ruby in Albuquerque? You're on
now,
the air.
I have a question, and I think I would like Barbara to answer it because I think it'll concern her school. I'm concerned that this grading that the governor got passed through the legislature will have like a demoralizing effect and a poor effect on these schools that are having such a hard time. So I would like to hear, their idea of what will this grading, what will the effect of this grading be?
Super, Ruby. Thanks a lot for your call. I appreciate it. So let's go to Chanel Segura in Santa Fe at Capshaw. And James's question was, is our school system limited in this perspective that he presented where it's just churning out students like car engines?
Yes, we are, and I appreciate that, James, because we do have this system in place that is archaic, and, we're neglecting the fact that we have students 9 months out of the 12, and then they're off for summer break for 3 months, and at that time, we try to provide, I know our cities try to provide programs for our students, but, when they come back in the fall, how much have they lost from the previous year is my concern. So we're playing catch up all the time. Back in the day, we needed the kids off because we were, high agricultural and farming, and we needed their labor. At this time, we have kids who are sitting in front of the television, playing video games, not engaging academically with what they need to. And so I do think, we need to look at that. We also have special education that is being looked at with a magnifying glass right now and is very intense. And, we're neglecting to see that we need to look at that. What is that doing to our students over the summer as well? I am all for year-long school. I think having these small breaks, in between throughout the year is great because we do need some downtime. Teaching is high intensity, and we're basically, teachers are on stage every day having to improvise a lot of the times depending on what our students bring to the table. And so I do think that we do need to look at that system.
Great, Chanel. Let me take that question to Barney Fuller. Do you feel that teachers have enough input in the structure of the school year, in the way that resources are being distributed? I mean, is that, you hear Chanel Segura saying, I want to see a year-round instruction system to kind of prevent the downtime over the summer and the need to kind of do remediation every fall.
Well, no, I don't think teachers have had much of a voice at the table in recent times. I think since No Child Left Behind, we've gone further and further into a factory model for education, and I think teachers are just as concerned about that trend as anyone else. I also think that teachers have a lot of wonderful ideas about how real meaningful school reform would look. There are a lot of great ideas that have been put out there by the teachers' unions that often are not heard because there is right now kind of a war against teachers' unions. Some of the most progressive ideas that I've heard for school reform have come from our union in this community.
Which is, and you're talking about which union is it that you're a member of?
The Albuquerque Teachers Federation.
Albuquerque Teachers Federation. You're listening to the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Elaine Baumgartel. We're talking with New Mexico teachers this morning about what's going on in classrooms. And I'd like to ask that you give us a call and let us know what you're hearing about classrooms from your kids, what concerns you might have, or what positive successes you've seen in classrooms or heard about in classrooms. The number to call is 277-5866. That's locally here in Albuquerque. It's also 277-KUNM. You can also call toll-free 877-899-5866. That's 877-5866. 899-KUNM. You can also send us an email by emailing callinshow@KUNM.org. So I got an email from a listener, Francis Dieters, who is encouraging listeners and guests to see the movie Waiting for Superman. She says that she or he, I apologize, Francis, I'm not sure if you're a man or a woman, but you saw the movie last night and you say it was an eye-opener about the effect that education can make both teachers and administrators feel powerless. And Francis wants to know what teachers are doing about kind of trying to achieve more power in the process. Barbara, do you feel like you can bring some power to the conversation about how schools are going to be graded under the governor's new education initiative about grading schools?
Well, specifically, we're all curious to wait and see what that really looks like. I think it has a couple of different directions of impact. One is that there is a level of demoralization, and yet we get there every day, and we look at our kids and figure out what they need, and we work at addressing those needs. And so for those of us who have been at a school like Valle Vista for a long time, we're committed. We don't care what the governor says. We don't care what the grading system says. We're committed to our students, and we're going to stay in there. But I think that it has a real impact on the community and the level of trust that the community feels for school. But the other thing that it does, and somehow I'm probably going to confuse this, getting this wrapped up with waiting for Superman kinds of discussion.
Well, this movie, but it was critical of public schools and very supportive of charter schools is what I understand. I have not seen it, but the parents in the film spoke about feeling like they had no option other than to try to get their kids into the charter schools because they felt like the public schools weren't good enough.
Well, here's my take on it. I mean, I sat in some hearings in Santa Fe and listened to legislators talk about throwing money at education. We're tired of throwing money at education and not seeing any results. Well, the per unit funding this year is $3,606 per unit, which equals more or less a student. And that's how much money the state puts in. Next year, we're going to see at least, and this is not counting Hannah Scandera's inability to do math, that we're going to see at least $127 less than that next year.
Let me just clarify for listeners. I think what you're talking about with your comment about Hannah Scandera is that there were some numbers that were revealed recently that there are more units in the system, and she has ordered an audit of school districts to find out, and she has not so much accused districts across the state, but perhaps suggested implicitly that districts across the state are bumping up their numbers of units in order to get more money into the districts. Just for listeners to know, that's what you're referring to.
Right. So I just went online yesterday and looked. The Albuquerque Academy yearly tuition is $18,455. And that doesn't count all of their endowments and all of their extra money. It's clear that even with exclusive students who test in, if you want the real kind of broad education that excites us, that we want, it takes a monetary investment. We just sat yesterday in a budget meeting at my school talking about, are we going to put 30 kids in a classroom, or are we going to lose the 3 intervention teachers and have us go back into the classroom? Whereas we know that the need is huge for both those aspects, and that's not even looking at the social aspect. But children, the impact that the grading system has in the kind of testing is that more and more we ask minute things of children that are developmentally not appropriate. We're making preschoolers do stuff that kindergarten kids used to barely have to do. We're asking kindergarten students to do things. And so the divide between children who have and the children who don't have becomes even broader. We're spending time teaching, forcing kindergarten kids at Valle Vista to be in a chair, sitting instead of
doing other
the world
things. Let's
and
take
talking.
Let's take a caller. Lorraine in Santa Fe. Good morning. You're on the air.
Yeah, this is I wanted to say a couple of quick things. One, I'm a retired teacher and administrator from Santa Fe Public Schools, and I wanted to say, Elaine is a former student of mine.
I was going
to
say, is this Lorraine Price?
Elaine is a former student of mine, of whom I'm very proud, and is a product of the public school system up here in Santa Fe. And Chanel is a former colleague of mine, whom I'm also very proud. Both of them have master's degrees. Both of them have worked very hard. And while I'm listening to this show, I'm thinking about the successes that we don't talk about and what we need to look at in terms of Elaine and Chanel and what was it that helped them to succeed. And I think maybe Elaine and Chanel and your other guests there, tell us what motivated you and
how you succeeded and survived through this system. Thank
well,
you.
You know, I think Lorraine, and I'll answer that directly. Lorraine was my high school English teacher, and it was my teachers. It was teachers that encouraged me and supported me in my learning experience for sure. And that's partially why I wanted to have this show and talk to teachers today. This has been the KUNM call-in show, and I guess we'll leave it with perhaps a look forward at what you think is the most successful thing that you want to carry forward into your work with students. Barney, can you give me like a 30-second wrap on what you think has been most successful with your students that you see your students responding to thoroughly?
I think that quality teaching is about rapport.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's about relationship and providing an environment where students are wanting to come into that classroom. And I think it's very important for teachers always to, and I see this very often, they need to continue to put themselves in the seats that those students occupy and understand their experience.
Oh,
Barbara Peterson, real quick for me.
Just
more teachers.
Schools, more teachers. Public schools are where we need to put our energy to meet the needs of students, because they come in with needs, and we have the expertise to meet that need.
Great, thanks. Chanel, any last-minute thoughts?
I agree with my panel members. I think it's the rapport and the relationships, because that's what students need. That's what adults need.
Great.
And so when that's established, then great things can happen.
Super, Chanel. Thanks for your time. That's all the time we have this morning. Thanks so much for joining us for the KUNM Call-In Show. If you have comments on this program or you'd like to suggest a topic, you can email us at callinshow@kunm.org. You can listen to this program and other KUNM Call-In shows online by visiting our website, kunm.org. I'm Elaine Baumgartel. Sarah Gustavus was producing this morning. Michael Hess was on the phones. Engineering by Kevin Smith. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll be back next Thursday morning at 8 o'clock for the KUNM Call-In Show.